World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you're probably looking at me right now saying, Coach, where's that football stadium behind you? What happened to that thing? Well, it disappeared. It disappeared. Hey, man, thanks for tuning in yesterday, and thanks to Mark Trump for scaring the devils out of us yesterday with this teaching on AI. My. We're going to talk about that a little bit here this morning. I'm in, where am I? Coeur d'Alene? No, that's not right. Sandpoint? I think that's right. Get out a map and pull up a map of Idaho. Do that real quick, Jared. Pull up a map of Idaho. It's where I am. I mean, I had the opportunity last night to speak to the Republican Women's Club of Bonner, B-O-N-N-E-R, Bonner County, Idaho. Now, you know, I don't know what you guys think. Idaho's one of those states that you don't think much about if you never go there. And there's really no reason to come here other than it's fantabulously, unbelievably beautiful. How beautiful it is here. And so I got a friend that lives in Tom Munns. My buddy Tom Munns lives down in Boise, and I'm in Sandpoint. And so I asked him, well, how far is it to Boise? And they did some calculation and they said, 500 miles. I said, what? What? Yeah, 500 miles. 500 miles from one end. Jared's trying to get something up here. It doesn't look like Boise. Maybe he's getting Sandpoint. Jared, just get the overall map. Just make it like a third grade map of Idaho without all this Google Mark of the Beast AI stuff that you're throwing up there. He's showing us where we are. I appreciate that, Jared. The old smokestack is what I always called it. Idaho. Idaho has a big old smokestack that goes up the left-hand side of it. And it is 500 miles up that smokestack. Amazing. And so it's like so many other places. Sergeant made me think of you up there in Maine, what it would be like, the difference maybe between living in Portland, Maine, and living in the Allegash. There it is, Jared. Pull that up there for us. Make that thing a little bit bigger. Portland, Maine, and the Allegash. And so right there on the map, if you look at it, just let me give you a real quick lesson. Look at this. Idaho is as long as Washington and Oregon combined. You see how that smokestack goes there? Unbelievable, right? And so if you look where Boise is, there's Boise. Look at it's Coeur d'Alene. Or you see it says Post Falls on the map there. That's 500 miles. 500 miles on that. And so, I mean, we are really, really up. We're really up there. And you know, there's an amazing thing going on up in this area. You would think up here in Coeur d'Alene and Post Falls and what did I say? Sandpoint. You would think that you have good old boys. And you do. You have a lot of good old boys. Do you know what else you have? You got a lot of people who are fleeing Seattle, fleeing Portland, Oregon, fleeing San Francisco. There are a lot of people that are moving up here. And the whole area is changing because why? Well, losing the good old boy flavor. You know what I'm talking about. So there's a real battle going on here. I spoke to the Republican, Women's Republican, although it wasn't just women. We had a good crowd, about 100 last night. And it's not, they don't understand, or they're beginning to understand that these interlopers have come in from other parts of America and are taking over their cities. Sarge, you guys, Jared, you guys, maybe you can relate to that a little bit. You know, so I remember talking to Jared's dad, Mike. I said, how can Maine be liberal? Are you kidding me? I think of Maine, I think of moose and beards and guns and suspenders? Maine's liberal? And they said, well, you got to realize that Maine is Massachusetts. That Boston, all those people from Boston have moved up to Maine, into the lower Maine. Yes or no, Sarge? Am I on top of it there?
Yep.
And so the entire pot.
Portland, so Maine.
The entire pot. Go ahead.
Portland, Maine is, if I remember correctly, highest per capita of homosexuality on the Eastern Seaboard.
Whoa. Is that right? Huh? So, guys, it's not only our preppers fleeing, because they're up here. This would be a place to be. I'm telling you, if the Martians landed tomorrow, they'd have a hard time finding Sandpoint, Idaho. Okay, so it's a pretty good place to be. But even these lefty libs, these God haters, they understand something's wrong, and they're trying to get out of the cities too. And they're trying to get out of the cities and get into places like Sandpoint, Idaho, and take over. So this battle, man, is raging over and over and over. And I want to try to take you a little bit of a journey here. First of all, I want to announce this morning, Sarge, maybe you can give us the big announcement of who our latest speaker is to join us at April 20 through 21. I see Pastor Mike Spaulding's with us here this morning. April 20, 21, and 22, and as Sarge would say, Akron, Ohio. That Akron, where they make tires, where tires were invented. Firestone, Akron, Ohio, and Canton, where the Football Hall of Fame is. They're twin cities. Who's going to join us there, Sarge, on April 20, 21, 22, and how do people get involved with it?
We are glad to announce Bill Federer. And Bill was on Hagman, if you haven't caught that, a couple of nights ago. And we're excited to have him on board. And you can go to coachdavelive.com/Occupy 2018 or just do Occupy2018.com. Either way, it'll get you to the registration page. Early registration runs.
We'd love to have you come. I'm sorry, Sarge. And what do we charge? What is it, Sarge? $79, $89? What is it?
$89 early bird between now and February 20th.
Yeah, I hear from people. We hear from people. I was speaking to Mike Kerr yesterday as well. People complain that you got to pay money to do it. I say, listen, you go to the Ohio State football game for free? Complain about that? Say, well, this is religious. Say, is it? It's religious? Okay. Well, let's say it is religious. You understand we got to fly guys in from different parts of the country? You understand we have to put people up in hotels? You understand we have to rent the hotel? You understand we got to buy the food? You understand that there's some expenses involved with these things? And by the way, don't you think if Pastor Mike Spaulding comes, he deserves a little bit of an honorarium to come in and do it? Oh, no, well, you shouldn't charge on the gospel. I ain't charging on the gospel. You want to come to an event? You want to learn something? Then come do it. So $89 right now, early bird special. We can seat up to 350, and we're sure we're going to sell it out. We got, as I said, Pastor Mike Spaulding's going to be with us, Russ Dizdar and L.A. Marzulli and Joe Hagman and Doug Hagman. And John Robertson, I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, Bill Federer. And if you guys have never heard Bill Federer, he's on Hagman the other night. Bill's been a friend of mine. I'm not name dropping. Bill's been a friend of mine for it. We used to do these little things called Shake the Nation. And there were these little mini conventions. We would go around different places. Mark Trump's with us, I'm sorry. We would go around and we would put on these little events. Like these mini things. I'd go travel the nation. I'd take a group of guys with me and try to do it. And Bill Federer always came. And he was out here to Idaho with me once. And we, a lot of different things. I saw him about 6 or 7 months ago here in Ohio. He was speaking in Ohio and hadn't seen him in a while and struck up a conversation with him. And then I saw him on Hagman the other night. And I thought, dang, gone. There's a guy we need. And called him, sure, he'll come. So, guys, this will be really good. This is going to be like, this will be like none of the conferences you've ever been. And one of the things that I think that I complain about most on the conferences is it's information overload. And Larry was talking a bit about losing weight, but before we came on the queue, and I'm fighting that beast trying to lose a little bit of weight too. And the way you lose weight, I tell you, is quit eating so much. So we're ending up what's happening to us. Imagine that this is an image that the Lord gave me. The average American Christian Imagine a little stick man. Jared, can you get a picture of a stick man? I know people. Ah, you don't have to do it. That's okay. You know, guys know what a stick man is. The average. There it is. Thanks, Jared. Jared, click on. Just click on one of them and bring it up. I don't care which one. Nah, that's the wrong one. Click on that one right behind it. This guy's got his arm straight out. Oh, there you are. There you are. Hey, folks, look. I want you to listen to me. Thank you, Lord. You mean to tell me Coach can give a Coach can give a biblical message from a stick man? You're about to get one. Because right there, you're looking at the average American Christian full of head knowledge and no spirit. There's no spirit to them at all. Got all this head knowledge, especially those who like to listen. I call it the Hagman and Hagman crowd. God bless them. I'm one of them. But they just fill up their head bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and the rest of them, spiritually, they are a little stick. A little stick man. And they're a little stick man because they didn't ever get beyond the head knowledge. And in our teaching of the Holy Spirit, which I'm going to zero in on a little bit more tomorrow when I'm home. I just feel more comfortable doing it there. You're looking at us right there. Right there we are. Little shriveled up spirit man. Great big head full of crap that you don't even need to know. That's the battle that we're fighting. Somebody say, Coach, what a great illustration. I know the Holy Spirit just gave that to me. And then somebody's trying to get a hold of me. I know you want Mark. Mark sent me a text. I forgot to tell you, Mark, Jared, go back to the Occupy till I return thing. Mark's going to be there, and Mark's going to blow him away with AI. And it's interesting how Mark became part of this group. I mean, he didn't really become part of this group. I love to tell this story. We were at Boise, Idaho, and the thing was about, I spoke in Boise, and we spent the weekend there. And the last day, Mark didn't have that long beard like, he didn't have that long beard in. Mark came up to me after it was almost over. Said, man, we got to connect. Now there's 500 people there, and Mark's coming up telling me we got to connect. I said, what do you do? And he says, oh, I'm a cyber sleuth. Well, I can't even remember how he said it. I said, okay, man, let's connect. And you know, I get home the next week. He calls me. He says, hey, I'm coming out. And my wife are coming out. Come out to our house. He lives down in Virginia, I think it is, Mark. Although I think it's Virginia. He said, yeah, it's not that far. We'll drive over. So they came over and spent the weekend. We got to know Mark and his wife. And I began saying, Lord, this is another gift that you're bringing to the table here. Another one who understands this cyber world and the internet and artificial intelligence. By the way, that's AI, artificial intelligence and where this whole thing's going. And see, folks, aren't we small-minded? We're so small-minded. When we thought about the mark of the beast, we thought it was just going to be a little chip. I'm just not going to take that chip. I'm not going to chip me. And we've been talking for years. Oh, there's chips. The chips are out there. You're about to get chips. Boys and girls, it is so much bigger and broader than we even have a concept of. And I was thinking last night as I was speaking to the group, and then this morning as we're coming on, golly, folks, we ain't got no idea. We have got no idea what the devil's up to. Oh, my goodness. And when Ohio State University got beat by the University of Iowa this year, 55-31 or whatever it was, I hope they got blown out. Ohio State got blown out in that football game because they underestimated their enemy. They came out in the game, and the Buckeyes thought they were going to win just because they're the Buckeyes. And the next thing you know, they were way down. They couldn't fight their way back. And, Mark, I have a feeling that that's what's going to happen. The average Christian is going to be so overwhelmed with what happened that it's going to be hard for them to recover. Anybody have a comment on that? And then we'll move on here a little bit. We're not talking about this stuff in our church at all. I'm sitting there listening. It was a miracle of technology yesterday. I was riding in the plane at 50,000 feet, however high they are, 35,000 feet, watching Coach Dave Live on my phone, YouTube. I said, this is crazy. How is this stuff going on? And see, but guys, I want to let it build your faith, because God is the ultimate GPS. And if that GPS, that global positioning system, if it can find me on that airplane, the Lord can find you. The Lord knows right where you are. And if that GPS can track me and keep track of all my individual data, if that GPS can do that, see, that builds in me the creator has to be greater than what was created. It has to be. And if we're going to think, sit around, we think this is all be evolution, all that stuff. Nah, man. What an exciting time to be alive. So,
amen,
boy, there's a lot. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm just saying, amen. You're right. God is the greatest. Yep, and, yeah. Amen.
So, you know, it's easy to get depressed. Guys, girls, don't get depressed. Don't get depressed. That's the first way to get your butt beat. You know what I used to do when I was coaching? I like to use coaching analogy. We would be coaching our guys and we'd be watching a film after a game was over. And we'd be watching the film and we were good. So eventually somewhere in the third quarter, we would start getting ahead. We'd start beating on them. If you played any football at all, the longer you get into the game, the more you get beat up, the more tired you become. And we used to say, kill the will. That's what we would tell our guys. Say, listen, they're going to hang with us in the first quarter and they're going to hang with us in the second quarter. And into the third quarter, they're still going to be hanging with us and they might even be ahead. They might. But once you know something, we're going to keep hammering on them. They're going to get tired. And ultimately, we're going to win this game because we're going to kill the will. We're going to kill the will inside them. One of the things that discourages me or makes me concerned and caution is there ain't much will in the church, man. There ain't much will. And we used to take those video, those game films. I'd be watching them, and all of a sudden we'd run a play. And then I would stop it and I would point it out. I'd put it up on the screen and say, guys, look at them. Look at them. They're bending over. Their hands are on their knees. Look at them. They're sucking air. And I would teach our guys to be able to look at their opponent and see when their opponent was on the verge of surrender. Look at them. And then you know what would happen? The next Friday when we'd be playing another football team, I'd hear all the guys on the sidelines, they'd be behind me late in the third quarter, and you'd hear them start yelling out to their buddies, hey, look, man, their hands are on their knees. Look at them. They're bending over. And we have got to be smart enough to understand the times in which we live. And folks, listen, this flurry of energy that we're seeing from the left is a last-ditch effort. And I thought it was so clear what we heard the other night when we were talking to Mark Taylor, the other morning, I'm sorry, that the systems of the world are being judged. They are being judged and exposed and broken down right in front of us. And we cannot lose hope because ours is the only one that's built upon the rock. It is the only one that's sure to remain. Our system is the only one where our leader says, I'm going to be with you always. Always, you hang in there. You occupy till I return. You earnestly contend for the faith. That is the marching orders from our coach. And we started watching ESPN and what they're telling us about what's going on. We're going into our churches. We're hearing doom and gloom. Listen, of course the other side is fighting. Of course they're going to score some punches. Of course some people are going to get hurt. Of course they are. It's war. But we got to understand, be like the men of Issachar who understand the time in which we live and know what it is that Israel should do. So we have to guard ourselves, Mark. That was so powerful yesterday. Men of Issachar who understand the times in which we live. Mark explained that to us yesterday. Inkling of it. You know what's missing? Men who understood the times in which they lived was that Israel do. That's the part we're missing. We have to pray, Lord, show us what we need to do. Show us what we need to do.
Hey, Coach.
What I pray the cuddle all about. Yes, sir.
Right after I talked with Jared, we were on the phone, and you're not going to believe what was revealed. The whole idea of that one verse is the fact that there's a beast that's injured, and there's a second beast who has powers and gives life to an image that he forces mm-hmm. us to create, and then he teaches that image to speak, and instead of demanding that we worship
the beast, which I've always believed, we must worship the image that we created. It was an amazing idea. And that, like I told Jared, that came to me that morning as we started and Joe was reading. So that's how God works, first of all. Second of all, you guys think about computers and you think about backups. You think about artificial intelligence just being a program. All it is a program we created. So rebuke it by just saying, rebuke it. You are just a friggin' program. You're not a God. That in one way is just separating it from all this belief around it. But do you know what a backup is of a program? Do you know what you do when you back up a disk? You create an image of it. So here we are, you know, being led down this path of worshiping an image, which could be the same image we talked about.
Is that crazy? An image isn't a real thing, is it?
No, it's artificial. It's artificial by name.
Wow. Artificial by name. Man, I don't know about you guys every morning. And when I, last night, when speaking to those, I called them, hey, can we tell the truth here? Hey, or old folks, they're like me, gray hairs. I'm losing all my hair. That's gray hairs. The room was full of gray hairs. I said, how long do you think you're going to wear election cycle? Two more? There's some of you ain't going to make it to the next one. As a men of Issachar who understand the times in which we live, what are we doing other than sitting around, Jared, and being that little stick man? Learn more information. Sorry, our head gets bigger and bigger and bigger and not doing anything with it. And Mark, I'm telling you, and I'm telling, this is Pastor Mike Spaulding, this stuff is so important. I'm telling you, fellas, hear me. We can capture so many souls if we can give an answer to what's going on technologically. If we can begin to explain to the next generation technology versus spirit, to help them really get it, to understand what we're talking about and being counterculture, and the church has to arise, and what we're fighting, and the mark of the beast, and fighting the beast, and Revelation, say, man, this is that. Here we are. We are right in the middle of this. All this stuff's coming true. And rather than us, excuse me, did you ever do this? Did you ever read a book and go to the back page first because you want to see how it ends? That's American Christianity. We've turned to the back page. We turned to the back page. I know how it ends. We win in the end. Oh, that makes you feel good. What about during the game? Because we're living during the game. Hey, I got a news clip for you. When the end comes, it's the end. It's over. When the end comes, it's over. So you can go read the end of the book and know what's going to happen during the end of the book. But we're still playing. We're still in the game. It ain't the end yet. Oh, golly, we're so bogged down. We're so.
Well, you know, technology is an aspect, and yesterday was really eye-opening. But there's some basics that need to be covered before information about technology can be properly applied.
Mm. And Larry, technology can work for us as far as, can you imagine if Jesus was here today and he had this thing right here? Can you imagine?
He can have one heck of a Twitter account.
What a Facebook Twitter account. Can you imagine? Hey, Jesus is on Facebook Live. Can you imagine? And so knowing all this, why did he come so early? If he came right now with all this mass communication, wow.
Well,
but see, he put that spirit in me because it's my job. It's our job.
There's a reason that he did come when he did. And you know what? It just may be that we as mankind are not smart enough to figure that reason out.
Yeah. Or Larry, analysis by paralysis. He's trying to figure out how this whole thing's going to wind down. And we know, okay, just read through Ecclesiastes. Nothing new under the sun. And nothing new under the sun. Jared, go to Ecclesiastes. Is it one? Let's check that real quick, Jared. If it's not one, I don't have my Bible with me today. To everything there's a season. The birds and a time to every purpose under heaven. Is that Ecclesiastes 1? It might be 2. There it was. I think it's, yeah. There it is. Hey, Joe, you got that voice ready?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready, Joe? Let's go, brother. Let's start out Ecclesiastes 1, and let's see where that takes us here a second. Scroll back down a bit, Jared, to 1. Wow.
The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity.
Time out a minute. What's vanity? Hang on a minute, Joe. We talked about that. What's it mean to do something in vain? What does vanity mean? Well, vanity, you're so vain. Hang on a second, Larry. Vanity can mean, you're thinking about yourself. There it is. Thanks, Jared. Vanity is inflated pride in oneself or one's appearance. Vanity. Something that is vain is something that is empty of value. Right? So just think about that a minute. As we read this again, vanity, all is vanity. The emptiness of it. Larry, did you want to weigh in here real quick?
No, I just wanted to talk to you on the side for a second.
Okay, hang on. Let's go back there, Joe. Vanity. So it's empty or it's prideful. Those are vanity. Okay. So now as we read Ecclesiastes, it says emptiness, says the preacher, empty of all emptiness. Everything is empty and worthless and meaningless. That's what the writer of Ecclesiastes tells me. Keep going, Jared.
What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away.
Barely.
Another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth. The sun goeth down and hasteth to the place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north and whirleth about continually. And the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers came, thither they return again.
Amazing.
All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
Stop right there, Matt. There is no new thing under the sun. That is the most unbelievably profound of statements. There's nothing new. Guys, ain't nothing new. Especially in the nature and the heart of man, there's nothing. Their thoughts are continually wicked. Continually wicked. Nothing new under the sun. Verse 10, Joe, go ahead.
Is there anything whereof it may be said, seeth, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after.
Boy, amen.
I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith.
Wow.
I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I come to great estate. I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow.
Wow, just that last verse, Mark. Just that last verse goes back to the little stick man. That he, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. That's what I'm saying, see? We got these great big heads and trying to figure everything out, and the writer of Ecclesiastes says, stop it, man. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Ain't nothing new. Nothing new. It just cycles and cycles and cycles. I'm driving up yesterday into these beautiful mountains. I can't even describe it to you. And we were up 6,000 feet. We were out looking over this massive lake. Are you ready for this? This massive lake that I can't remember the name of. That is so big. It is a fountain. Are you hearing me? A natural water. Not natural, but what's the word? Not salt
lake
water.
Lake Ponderate.
Thank you, man. Lake Ponderate is 1,000 feet deep. 1,000 feet. Do you know they have submarine base up here where they practice and do exercise because the water is 1,000 feet deep? Looks flat on top of it. Looks like you can walk across it. Nothing new under the sun, man. Nothing new. And nothing new. And what it would look like if an earthquake hit down here and split these mountains and all that water would have come running down out of there. What would that look like? See, we're not supposed to sit around and ponder and worry about that. We're supposed to work while the sun shines. For a day cometh when no man can work. Oh, man. I just talked to Larry. I'm going to Larry do his teaching. Larry's going to do teaching on prayer. I don't want to shorten it down on him. I got on a roll here this morning.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Just real quick. One of the verses there, 14, in fact applies to us. This is pretty convicting.
I've seen all the works that are.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
Please read that. See what you think.
I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. Behold, all. Not some.
All
is vanity.
Is vanity. Everything. That means it's exclusive. That means there's nothing.
All means all, brother.
All. So as hard as we try, as righteous as we are, if all is all, that's convicting to me.
Jared, look up vexation. Look up vexation of spirit. All, Mark. All.
Vanity. Yeah, just wanted to comment on that. That's all.
The act of harassing or vexing. Troubling. Troubling. How about that? The cause or state of being irritated, vexed, afflicted, troubling. So let's go back and read that again, Jared. Let's read that again. Vexation of spirit. Isn't that what it says? Behold, all is vanity and all is vexation of spirit. Woo-wee. Well, we ought to feel a little bit depressed, right? Because ain't nothing new. Nothing new in the sun at all. Somebody jump in. Anybody have something they want to say? I got something else to pop up here.
Given the logic of the reading, then, I would think that AI has been around before, but it's been...
Nothing new, brother.
It's been conquered before.
I would go with verse 18.
What?
For much wisdom is much grief,
yep.
And he that increases knowledge, which is what's supposed to happen, Even Jesus said it about the increase of knowledge in the end times. Increase
yep. Yes, sir.
You know, for years yep. I've said that the book of Ecclesiastes is a very dangerous book for those who read it lightly, because you have to really watch closely, because certain sections of Ecclesiastes, the writer says this stuff is stupid. It doesn't. I thought it counted, but it doesn't. Other sections of Ecclesiastes, the writer says, but this is true. And you have to be careful. Yeah. You just can't take something out of Ecclesiastes and say, okay, this is the bottom line. I'm going to nail it down. Fact, because you have to read what section of Ecclesiastes it came from.
Amen. Amen, brother. Hey, amen on that one.
Go to verse 11. Read. Let's look at verse 11 for a second.
Okay, let's stick on Ecclesiastes. Let's do prayer when we have a little more time, because we can't treat prayer like me.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that to you.
Dave, let's look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. That's powerful.
Isn't that unbelievable? Even though that's a sissy Bible that you're reading it out of, it is. There's no remembrance of former things. Hey, Mark. Hey, guys. I don't crack this one open. But boy, this sure makes you wonder about some of those ancient technologies. Doesn't it, Pastor Mike? Huh? Make you think about some of those ancient technologies and whether those things really are true. And the Indian mounds and the serpent mound and the what are they called? The pyramids. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, nothing new under the sun. So Mark, does that mean at some point, somewhere along the line, this knowledge has been here before, and this knowledge has been used, and this knowledge has been conquered, because it's all vanity, vanity, all is vanity, vexation of spirit? Man, oh man, oh man.
I certainly have some theories that are backed by some historical evidence, so we'll cover that another time. But yes, I think we've made the same mistakes
before. Well, Mark, that brings into light the Mandela effect, which we're not going to get in now, but that makes more sense to me with the whole Mandela effect, see, and everything that's going on with that. Wow.
It's more like what Jonathan Kahn presented, that there's cycles, and these cycles repeat over and over and over, right down to the number of days certain people are in office. And I do believe there is a pattern, and the book The Paradigm, for instance. I mean, it's just one of those things that whenever you're exposed to the historical truth, it's easy to see, it fits that pattern, but not until it happens.
Pastor Mike Spaulding, what's your take on what we just read there, brother? I see you're in the queue this morning.
Well, Coach, you've heard me say this many times before. If our pastors and our churches would stop teaching flannel graph Christianity, stop giving cotton candy to people, and start teaching the truths of the scriptures, they would cover every one of these things that we've been chatting about this morning. And this is the real food of life. These are the things that people need to be equipped with and understand so that they can stand up against the evil and the darkness. Without your armor on, and I consider all these topics part of putting on your armor, without your armor on, you're going to get bulldozed by the enemy. You can't stand without the armor of God. And that's part of that is this information that we chat about.
Pastor Mike, I know you can't give a good answer on this, but what would we suppose is the percentage of Christians that even know what AI is? That even know about, what is the percentage of Christians who've ever in their lives even considered the idea of the Nephilim and ancient technology? What do you suppose is the percentage of Christians?
I'd say on
what
the
did
high,
it say, Roger, in 14?
On the high side, maybe 15%.
Go ahead, Mike.
Men of old.
Maybe. Men of old. Where was that, Roger? There's no remembrance. Yeah, there it is.
Of men of old.
Remembrance of former things of men of old. Wow.
You talk about a desire.
What?
The cross is important. Don't get me wrong. The cross is where we take our sin. But you take that verse from an important standpoint. We are striving as a culture, as individuals, to have all of this significance. We don't want to follow Christ. We don't want to follow God. And the Bible clearly says you are forgotten but for your service to him.
Yeah, Jerry.
Just something that I noticed coming out after watching your show and things is Christianity to me was boring. It was so boring. And now it's like, it's not that boring. It's, you know, it's actually kind of interesting. It's actually can be fun.
We can apply it everywhere. You look, it applies everywhere.
Well, Jared, be more specific. Whenever you're in churches, through the lens that we've developed through these eye-opening experiences we've shared with each other, we can look at individual Christians now and understand the differences in a body of Christ, believer in Christ, and someone who calls himself a Christian. We have that perception now, and that's what makes it interesting to me, is to talk with people and just be able to detect our intuition is much keener on these things.
Okay, so let me take you here, boys. Because those of you who, deer in the headlight looks, by the way, man, there was a moose on our way home last night, a baby moose, a 30 deer. Wow, I was looking for a bear out here in the, wow, nothing new under the sun out here. But I was thinking as we were coming home, how shallow we are, and I run into more trouble when I simply, which happened to get coach, but I have to remember that God loves everybody. Ding, 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 ding. It goes off my head, right? You hear it goes off my head, and there's nothing that shakes the room more. That ain't true. God's so, and his love is available to everybody. There's two teams. There's the devil's team. You're of your father, the devil. You will do shake people of faith more than that because they've been taught that uniform God's image and we're all, you know how the story goes. Find Psalm 139. Reading this to me the other night. Not that I don't know how to read. She was something. Good woman that she is. She was in the Word. Listen to this. So I want to take a couple minutes because guys, bear with me. I think this applies. God has enemies, and unless the church wakens up soon and begins to embrace that of the cross. All right. Unless you want to take out a bunch of teaching. You want to do away with Psalms. I'm just going to turn Joe loose here, and we're going to read all 29 and Psalm 140. And you tell me, Jesus, crowd. From here. Go ahead, Joe. Start there.
Psalm 139. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting. Thou understandest my thoughts are far off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my
tongue.
How
much of me ways?
But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is nigh. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there.
Hang on a minute, Joe. Whither means where? Jump, but where? I'll be making a Bible that Roger. where?
If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thine right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light above about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was from it, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should
stop a minute now, because listen, boys and girls, hang on, Joe. Just shift gears. He's just told us. David just told us, man, you know everything about me. You knit me together in my mom's womb. There's nowhere where I can go. I can get away from nowhere. Just, Lord, I know you're in charge of everything. Now remember, there were no chapters. There were no chapter verses. Shift gear here from 20, Psalm 140 forward. Go ahead, Joe.
Say that again, Coach, the last part. You broke up.
Start. And let's go. Okay. Let's start in verse 20 and then go into Psalm 140.
Okay.
Just changed what he was doing.
But they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Go to 140, Jared, and keep going, Joe. Just start at verse 2.
Which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips, Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the goings. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me, Selah.
Mm.
I said unto the Lord, thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves, Selah. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they not rise up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence.
Ain't a whole lot of love going on in that And those two psalms, are there boys and girls? What's going on? I had a whole lot of love. No, no, no. I hate those. Perfect hate. How, guys, how do we justify that with what we're saying? Somebody help me out here. Nothing new under the sun. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, somebody carry. I'm out here in moose country. All right, give me a break. Just kidding, dear. How do we square this? How do we square this with modern Christianity? All safe. Somebody weigh in.
You can't. You have to recognize that what is here in this group right here is true Christianity. And what is in the world is a facade. It's a lie.
And so, Joe?
This is a remnant. This is a remnant of the Lord in this room. We are charged to bring the gospel out. Go ahead.
And if there's nothing new under the sun, does what we just read still apply?
Absolutely.
What do you think, Roger?
When you think about how David was chosen by God, all his good-looking brothers, and send me another one, don't you got somebody else? And, you know, and they eventually get to David. God chose him because of David's heart. He writes the book of Psalms so clearly. And, I mean, look at what he says about the enemies of God. He doesn't try to go save them. He hates them. I mean, we're sitting there trying to praise every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there when they are the enemy of the cross. We are to take them down. They are evil, and our only concern is we need to save them. Don't believe them.
We don't even want to fight, Roger. David prayed, Lord, don't just let me hate him. Let it be a perfect hatred. Meaning what? Perfect hate. Please understand this, guys. It's not me hating somebody that I'm mad at. The perfect hatred is those who rise up against God. That's why David said, make it be a perfect hatred, Lord. Don't let it be about me. Don't let me hate people just because I've been mistreated or I've been disappointed. Lord, don't let me fall into that one. Lord, let it be a perfect hatred in that it's always and only about you and your rules and your precepts and the fact that they are so blatantly disobeying them and teaching others to do it. Lord, let me perfectly hate that. And we don't. Love them, brother. Just get them saved, brother Dave. Just get them saved. Jared, while you're doing some question there, Jared, I don't even know if you can find... Hang on a second. I'll give Jared a thought here. Jared, see if you can find that song that we played a long time ago called Solomon's Temple in David's Heart. Because I think it's kind of appropriate right now. Go ahead. Is it whoever's trying to weigh in there, go ahead.
The answer to your question is in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, starting in verse... the people Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and to the city, any city the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely you have received, freely you give. Neither provide gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip in your journey. Coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. The workman is worthy of his meat. And to whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire in it who and when you come into a house, salute it.
It's Matthew 10.
Anyway, Kevin, Matthew 10.
Hey, guys, listen, we're up against the clock. I want Jared to play this song. Hey, thanks for that, Kevin. It broke up a little bit. Matthew 10, we'll try to cover that tomorrow. This is a song called Solomon's Temple. Now, we know what's going to happen, right? They may ban it. They may ban it. After we play this, they may ban it. But I want to get this song back into your spirit again, called Solomon's Temple in David's Heart. You think this is a song, Jared? I think it is. Let's see it. Okay. Go ahead and play that then, bud. What is a church?
Where does it start?
Where does it start?
Is it a building? Or is it a heart? If you know the answer, then we can agree. But it's not a building, it's a heart that's willing to let God be. Solomon's temple was not like David's heart. Knowledge and wisdom don't make you spiritually smart. You may find yourself to see if you can't tell them apart.
Solomon's temple and David's heart. You gotta learn to tell them apart.
Solomon's plea. He never asked God to let the Spirit lead. But David laid on his face and prayed continually. He cried for heaven's sake, Father, don't take your Spirit from me.
Amen.
Solomon's temple. Not like David's heart. Knowledge and wisdom don't make you spiritually smart. You may find yourself to see if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple and David's heart.
God's Spirit was never there.
Solomon's temple was not like David's heart. Knowledge and wisdom don't make you spiritually smart. You may find yourself to see if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple and David's. You may find yourself to see if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple,
Solomon's temple,
and David's heart. Solomon's temple and David's heart.
You may find yourself deceived if you can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple, religion, and David's heart, the Spirit of Almighty God. You're going to find yourself deceived, guys. You can't tell them apart. Solomon's temple, in David's heart. God bless you from Sandpoint, Idaho. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We'll see you tomorrow.